Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So, a few things happened this weekend, and I think we're obligated to begin in the obvious place.
Happy June.
I think I speak for everybody when I say
Happy June.
Stugatz, I really hope we can laugh today. I hope we can laugh at the person walking through a riot with a full cheesecake.
Happy June.
The guy who gets all bloody because he's decided to solve a riot with a bow and arrow.
Happy June.
The guy walking through smoke-filled streets as Batman.
Happy June.
Are we allowed to laugh at how J.R. Smith can't remember the score in the finals, but he sure as hell knows how to settle one in the way that feels final?
Happy June.
How about that race relations didn't become serious in this country until the police went after John Cusack with batons?
Happy June.
We going to be able to laugh today, Stugatz?
They did that to Cusack?
did he say anything?
Oh, God. Oh, God. You got any more there?
That's a terrible joke. I was wondering. I thought that might have been a good joke. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show, please. Put it on the poll, at Lebatard Show. Did John Cusack say anything? Good joke or bad joke?
I mean, you can't do that to John Cusack. He's one of America's sweethearts. You happy about this? Are you happy about this? Yeah. Was it a case of mistaken identity?
Keep going.
I mean, you can't do that to John Cusack. Most people love John Cusack the way they must love dogs.
I think we can stop.
Was this serendipity?
We're not going to be able to joke today, are we, Stugatz? We're not going to be able to joke today. All right, let's do it serious then, because like many of you, I spent the weekend sad and angry and horrified and confused and embarrassed and gurgling and threatened and scared as what used to feel like the United States burned. I'm not kidding, Stugatz, when I tell you, like, there was a bone weariness I had on me. I could feel it on my body. It's like the weight of a bulletproof vest feels on your chest. It wouldn't let me sleep. It felt like depression. It felt like sickness. It felt like disease. Like, on my body, I could feel it. Just a profound, profound sadness. 4 months ago, though, if I felt like that, Stugatz, I would have thought it was a cold or flu. 2 months ago, I would have had my temperature checked. I would have headed toward testing during something, you know, that felt like an apocalypse. An apocalypse that probably couldn't get much worse, right, from where we were standing. But this weekend was sort of a different diagnosis. It was very much fear, abject and absolute, that we're losing our country and that our country already feels so lost. That poison well that is social media, man. The video streams coming in, police cars burning, stores looted, vandalized, women and media being hit in the face with rubber bullets. police marching army style through what was otherwise a tranquil residential neighborhood. One of the officers shouting, "Light them up," as people on the porch scamper back into the house, and you can hear the ricocheting around of those rubber bullets. What felt like a state militia trampling a free press and firing pepper spray and rubber bullets into those that they swore to protect and serve. I'm not kidding you, Stugatz, when I tell you that in watching those videos, it became hard to see because, like, it was so poisonous whether the police were actually trying to prevent riots, control riots, or start riots. It was hard to see what was happening there. And I can say this honestly, Stugatz, and I don't say it with any hyperbole. I'm not fear-mongering in any way. I can say that in my 51 years in this country, I have never felt a despondence quite like that. I have never felt that helpless and hopeless about my country. An unseen killer has kept us hiding in our house for months, but it was pushed aside by one we could better see, the one with his knee on a black man's neck. So you remember how in those streets with angry protesters, Stugatz, you remember when we were watching those Ozarks videos of too many people in a pool and we got mad at the partiers, and then you see a million people sitting in the street way too close together, like we just forgot about the apocalypse and social distancing, and you realize that we're in the middle of one sickness and we're sitting here protesting another. And LeBron James is asking on Twitter, why doesn't America love us too? And he's only one of the most beloved black men ever. And Lord knows, too many black people recognize the feeling of being suffocated by America's armed authority. So, Roger Goodell, you could save your empty BS statement on behalf of the NFL. Your league already made its statement, dude. You've been making it for more than 3 years. You're not allowed to be the first voice to the public relations when you've been the last one to the relations. I'm telling you, Stugatz, Billy and Mike and I, we didn't suffer the way that our parents and grandparents did to get us over to this country. So all we know is the stories, right? And I'm sure I haven't talked to Billy and Mike about this, but if you talk to our parents and grandparents, they will tell you that what is happening in this country right now is what felt like Cuba when freedom fell. Like, you separate everyone. You turn everyone into enemies. Communism doesn't share wealth. It makes everyone poor. My parents, the currency in the country changed from one day to the other because there was only one newspaper. It was announced in one newspaper, and all of a sudden, everybody was the same from one day to the other. You can't believe anything you see and read because you see bricks in the street and you don't know who put them there. You don't know whether the people protesting really are protesting or they just want to start more violence. That's propaganda. That's Cuba. You can't believe the things that you're watching. You don't know what's real and what's not real. And it just, it's heartbreaking. Like, I don't know what other, like, there, we'll play all sorts of sound for you today from people who are more eloquent than I am and more qualified to speak on this than I am, because I'm just an observer. I'm Latin or not, minority or not, I come from privilege. But I hope we can laugh about this. Not laugh about this. I hope we can just laugh today. That there can be some medicine somewhere in this, because I'm telling you, Stugatz, I've been alive for 51 years and I have not had as heartbreaking a weekend for something that didn't really directly impact me as I did this weekend, where my fear kept me in a place. And I gotta think it's happening to a lot of people. I gotta think that this bone weariness, this heavy feeling that you have in your heart, in your stomach, it feels like a disease, man. America and its vibrant economy had to close down because of a disease that attacked the lungs for a few months. And now that disease has been engulfed and swallowed by the disease that has ravaged the heart for centuries.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. Stephen A. Smith will host a First Take Your Take Town Hall radio special from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Here's your SportsCenter update. In describing recent events of police brutality, racial profiling, and the weaponization of racism as shameful, inhumane, and intolerable, the National Basketball Coaches Association has established a committee on racial injustice and reform to pursue solutions within NBA cities. The Major League Baseball Players Association delivered a return-to-play proposal to MLB on Sunday that includes a 114-game season, deferred salaries in the event of a canceled postseason, and the option for all players to opt out of a potential 2020 season due to coronavirus concerns. And finally, the WWE is interested in offering Daniel Cormier a contract. If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know: your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Le Batard Show. Is the most apocalyptic thing to happen during these difficult times the sound from the last segment that would seem to be indicating me coming out against snacks? Me coming out against the idea of snacks at Le Batard Show on Twitter. We're going to get to some sound from a Sunday morning host, Myron Metcalf, who evidently rips me here in a second. And again, I will preface this by saying that having heard the sound, he's probably right, because I regret what it is that I tweeted. What happened, Billy? Is he not probably right? Because Billy is shaking his hand no at me in a way that suggests that I need to hear the sound before I react to it. What is this sound? Because I know you put it here because it makes fun of me. You spend your entire weekend scouring the internet for things that make fun of me.
No. That's not what happened, Dan Le Batard. Myron Metcalf is the host of Sunday Morning on ESPN Radio, and you had what, you know, you admitted last segment, a questionable tweet, a questionable take on what was going on Saturday, and he did not rip you. He didn't rip you at all, but he addressed the tweet, and I put it on the sheet because I thought, you know, maybe if we're going to address it, we can have someone that does the show from Minnesota who saw the tweet, who commented on it, maybe we can play his side of the story, and then let the people decide. Myron Metcalf, who's there experiencing things, right? Or is Dan, who's just judging some Rex Chapman tweet, right?
You know what? Totally fair. And I'm here for whatever the criticism is on this front, whether it's from Billy or Myron Metcalf. Yes, Stugant.
You said that Myron is probably right. I'd like to remove the probably from from the equation.
Okay, that's fine, but I haven't heard it yet. All right, well, let's hear Myron Metcalf Sunday morning. Now, again, if we didn't set that up correctly, I made a mistake over the weekend because, it doesn't matter why the because. And I tweeted out there were just a bunch of people leaving food at a food bank, and it was, you know, a nice human gesture. And I'm like, that precinct didn't burn because, people wanted snacks. It burned because they want justice. But I shouldn't have done that. And here's Myron Metcalf, who's actually there to tell you why.
I will respectfully say to Dan and others, you didn't smell it. You can't smell what I can smell in the fire that's still burning in this city. You're not getting choked up by the smoke that's still here. I know people who no longer have a grocery store. Think about that. These aren't people who are surrounded by stores and all these great things. I know people who don't have a grocery store. So yes, those people do need bottled water and they need toilet paper and they need diapers and they need wipes and all these other things they can't get to. Like, so we keep trying to simplify this. Like, we keep trying to put this in a little bottle and saying, this is the issue. these are the problems and this is how you deal with it. Let's stop fooling ourselves and let's all admit that this is complicated and there are a lot of layers to it and we're all trying to figure out how to solve it. But those images of people helping, those are people in need. Like people here, I can say with my own eyes, have legitimately lost institutions of their communities.
Oh, he was too nice. I feel like Myron was right.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, totally right. Yeah. And I feel like a real jackass now. I did before, and now I feel like even more of one, specifically because he was polite. Because he was nice about it. I did not deserve that. Minnesota's really nice when, you know, this stuff's not happening. Mike, what did you want to say about LeBron? I felt like I spoke for you instead of letting you speak on the subject of what it is that you wanted to tweet to LeBron before restraining yourself because we're all a little on edge.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, Sugatz actually articulated what I went through perfectly, which is I was about to hit send because I find it counterproductive. And certainly you've tapped into our upbringing, being that our parents are the ones that made the sacrifices, leaving as political exiles from Cuba. And my radar is always up for whenever I feel like people sow distrust with media because that's how the communist regime started in Cuba. That's really how any communist regime starts. Sow distrust between the people and the media. And whatever you read about Russian Twitter trolls and bots and everything like that, whatever the strategy here is, it is mission accomplished in terms of sowing the seeds of distrust between the American people and media. And oftentimes, it is a unifying force between people along every side of the political spectrum.
Everyone hates the media.
Everyone hates media. And that, over the last few years, has only gotten worse. And I don't see it as something that helps because I do think media does show a lot of the good stories. Media has been shown over the weekend. I've been glued to the coverage and I have seen a lot of the beautiful moments between police departments and protesters themselves. They give voice to that. And when I see protesters outside of CNN, even though that place in particular has a history of people going there to protest, not an apples-to-apples comparison, but it's like, why do Miami people celebrate sports championships at La Careta? I don't know. That's a place they do it. People go protest at the CNN Center. But you see what's happening there. And despite people, and I know there's wayward people involved in this, and there's all sorts of intelligence that proves that, but it seems as though they are pretty unified at hating the media. And I'm looking at that as an impartial observer, thinking, well, not impartial, because I am part of the media. ESPN gets hit with this a lot. And I'm like, why are you doing that to CNN? I feel like CNN is an ally for getting your story out there. They have a news reporter outside amongst you, putting microphones in your face, giving you an opportunity to speak to your side. And when I see LeBron put out the tweet, it's like, why is the media not showing this? I'm like, that's counterintuitive. I understand where he's coming from, but that's not really helping right now. And I just... As a Cuban American and hearing stories from what my grandparents say and what my dad says, it always makes me queasy when I see people hate with such vitriol the media.
That's one of the many alarming things from the weekend, Stugatz, was seeing the way the media was being trampled, that it didn't mean anything to say that you were media. You're going to hit in the face with rubber bullets. You're going to fire rubber bullets at the face of women who were just saying, where do I need to go? Because there's a hostility in the escalation from the police. And it was one of the many horrifying things from the weekend.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Watch new shower session videos now at youtube.com/progressive. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, but Monty Jones is going to join us there in just a minute. Stephen A. Smith will host a First Take, Your Take Town Hall Radio special from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Here's your SportsCenter update. Former Cavaliers guard J.R. Smith is seen in video published by TMZ Sports on Sunday beating up a man who allegedly damaged his truck during the protest in Los Angeles over the death of George Floyd. What a weekend, man. UFC light heavyweight champion John Jones tweeted Sunday that he plans to relinquish the belt and take time off from the octagon. What happened?
You just always make that Q and only that Q a G. Relinquish is one you consistently get wrong because you want to make it a pasta.
You're right. You know what, Jones? I'm tired of you. Give up the belt already. All right? I mean, geez. Everyone says you're the best pound-for-pound fighter they've ever seen. You don't want to fight? Don't fight. All right? I'm tired of it.
Dramatic video this weekend, too, of him taking spray cans away from protesters. John Bones Jones on the street caring about the optics of the people peacefully protesting and these other people that are there for whatever reason spray painting. So probably not the best time to take a shot at Bones Jones, really, who got some much needed good PR.
Really bad, bad luck for that one spray painter.
Yeah. They listened. Both of them. They listened.
And finally, David Rush, who at this point should hold the Guinness World Record for holding the most Guinness World Records, now holds the record for drinking a liter of 100% lemon juice in 16.5 seconds. The previous record was 17.1 seconds. Rush has broken over 100 Guinness records to promote STEM education. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the night.
So for years, the joke with Bomani Jones has been he's gone around the country as an authority, a historian. Very few people know sports and history the way that Bomani does. And so we play a game called Ask a Negro. It's been for, I don't know, 15 years that we've found ourselves. It's not our game, Mike. Mike, what are you cringing about? It's not our game. It's Bomani's game.
Good. That context on the front end next time before you just jump into the deep end there, Dano.
Okay. Thank you.
That was the reason for the cringe, Dan.
Regardless. Okay. Thank you for your help. Bomani, though, has taught me a lot just about race relations in this country, and we will get to the serious stuff in a second, but I always like to laugh about where some of the funny stuff can be found. So, Bo, where's the funny stuff? Am I allowed to, the person walking through a riot with a full cheesecake, the J.R. Smith story, what am I allowed to laugh at here?
I think you're allowed to laugh at the lady in Richmond who decided to twerk something when the cops rolled up. Have you seen that one?
No, I don't think I don't know that one.
Yeah. The cops were there. They were all shaped up. There was like the light shining, and she just twerked something. And I had to be honest, from what I could tell from that, that did not look like the first time that she had used that particular escape mechanism. There's also the idea that this is not the time to get caught stealing somebody's car, right? Because if there's anything that we all believe generally gives you the right to beat the hell out of somebody, is if you walk on somebody stealing your car. The last time I recall in my life, and this is like 15 years ago, like standing up, ready to go fight somebody without even thinking about it. I thought some dude was breaking into my car when in reality he too owned a gold Camry and he had just gone to the wrong one. Now imagine that you're trying to steal somebody's car or break into car, whatever it is, and it's J.R. Smith's car. That's a big dude. Like, these NBA players, they're really big. Like, you just don't think about it because they're not football players. These dudes are huge, and J.R. did what we all swear that we want to do more than nothing else. We wish somebody would try to break into my car when I'm there, and you saw what the end result was.
Stugatz, I don't know if you saw it, but now the move, whether it's Earl Thomas or J.R. Smith, is they get the call from TMZ, and they just go on video and are like, look, this is coming out, and I'm telling you right now what happened. This dude did this to my car, and I beat the holy hell out of him. So he takes all the steam out of the TMZ story.
Yeah, well, they tried to make a connection to the larger issue that I don't think is present. Like, it's not like JR went and parked his street in the middle of the march, right? And then somebody broke into his car. This seemed to be off on a side street. It sounds like somebody just simply thought he had witnessed a target of opportunity. And he found out that he, like, it's like when people find out that they broke into the wrong house. Right? Oh, oh, hey there, buddy. Didn't know you were cleaning your gun. That's kind of what happened here.
Bomani Jones, the right time with Bomani Jones. I'm sure you're going to want to go check it out if you want to actually get informed, and if you really want to hear a perspective in terms of wherever it is you fall on this stuff. I'm telling you that Bomani is better on the subject of race than anyone I have heard in the history of our network. So check out the right time with Bomani Jones. So now the serious stuff, like what you're kind of made of wires. So I don't know how much you hurt with this stuff, and you're not very angry or emotional when speaking about it. So was this just another matter of fact, okay, this happened again, or was this situation different because you can see America burning all around it?
Okay, so one thing that's worth noting about this is I don't watch the videos anymore, right? And I tell people this about, it's going to seem a little convoluted, but I think you'll understand where I'm coming from. When 9/11 happened, I lived in California. I had just moved there, and I was staying at a place where I was sleeping on the couch that did not have cable and did not have internet. And so I didn't watch anything that happened with 9/11 because I had all kinds of things to do until like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right? So like the people who have like the sudden shock of seeing the plane hit the towers and stuff like that, like I can't relate to that feeling because I don't have it. I never saw that image until years later, right? But that's part of why 9/11 resonates so much with people. They remember seeing it as it happened and all the stuff that came with it. I'm not watching these videos so much anymore. So the visceral reaction that people had to it is something that I don't really have, but I can tell has affected people because apparently it's what, like 9 minutes long, and you hear this dude asking for his mother and he's coughing up blood and everything else. And I think that there was like a very particular violence and like sadism that was involved with it that has resonated with people in a much different way, to where I look out the window in New York and I see the people that's marching behind this, and it's mostly white people that are in the group that are out there, right? Like, this has become a diverse coalition of people on this issue that I've never seen. Like, as much as we laugh about that dude with the bow and arrow in Salt Lake City, you may have seen that one on the internet. Let's talk about the fact that they had a Black Lives Matter rally in Salt Lake City. Can I get the population stats on that one? Like, we are at the point where Utah is marching for black people, and I have to say that they're marching for black people because I can't definitively say they are marching with black people because I don't know how many black people are in Utah.
Well, wait a minute. This is a moment of progress, then, is what you're saying. Like, when you're looking out your window and some of your allies are finally your allies.
Yeah, but like that's where I think this is going to wind up being important if this proves to be an inflection point. And I think that there's an argument to be made that we've seen something shift. Like, think about this for a second. If you are a person in media and you don't have it in you to say that what was in that video was wrong, and people typically try to avoid doing that because they just don't want to offend white people. They assume that white people are so racist that you just can't take black people's side without being wildly controversial, right? But if you're not willing to say that on this matter, you are to the right of Rush Limbaugh. Like, Rush Limbaugh has clearly stated, I have no justification for what was on that video. You still got a small handful of people who were staying silent after that dude said that. Like, think about what that means in terms of how different the reaction is to this. Because normally what those guys do is they just sit around and wait for the stuff to start burning, ignore the first part, and then come in and say, well, this was messed up, comma, but. That's not what happened this time. Your normal rabble-rousers, with just a couple of exceptions on that side, they stood down on this one. Like, something is much different about the way that this one resonated.
All right, we're going to come back with Bo if he's got another segment here. The NFL statement, did you have any kind of visceral
All right,
we'll find out.
Not that be the team.
Well, yeah, we'll find out what Bomani Jones' reaction was.
Hold on, did Stu guys just say we're going to get the deets?
No, I said let your laughter be the tease.
Oh, I thought you said you wanted the deets, and I was like, never change, my brother, never change.
All right, Bomani Jones going to continue with us here in just a minute on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
All right, so I'm going to say this again for those of you listening, because some of you find this show to be vital when it comes to talking about race relations, and we could not be that the way that we are without the help of what I believe to be, you know, the strongest sports voice on race that I have seen in my career, you know, beyond Ralph Wiley, in terms of being able to talk about this stuff. So if you want to actually learn, if this is one of the few times I've heard Bomani almost sound hopeful. I don't even know what that looks like. Bomani, hopeful that there has been progress here because people are actually listening. If you're in the mood to listen, The Right Time with Bomani Jones is a podcast. It is the podcast you need to be listening to on this subject. But before I talk to you about some of the serious stuff here, Bo, Mike and Stugatz were having an argument during the break. And Stugatz, go ahead and explain it to Bomani to see if he can help us sort this out.
We were discussing whether or not there's anything Roger Goodell could do to, you know, kind of make a difference, have people take him seriously, take his statement seriously. And Mike and I were having that debate. Now, Mike flatly said that I think, Mike, I don't want to misrepresent, at this point, there's probably nothing he can do. I presented a scenario, Bomani, that I would like to present to you. Mike, is that fair for you, on your side?
Yeah, you saw the reaction to the statement. I don't think there's anything Roger Goodell can do to escape what he did.
Okay, so hold on. So, Bomani, so I guess you're going to make a verdict for us here, right, Stugatz, in terms of, because do you believe, before we go into this, Bomani, that he can do anything, that there is something that he could do?
He could act like a man. That's what he could do. And the reason why I put it in those terms, it has long been my understanding, and I think that this is reinforced by the Joe Lockhart piece that he did for CNN, that, for example, on the matter of Colin Kaepernick, Goodell wants Kaepernick to be back in the league. I think on matters like the Rooney Rule, Goodell wants this to get better. Like, he's not the bad guy on this stuff. What he is, though, is the representative of these owners. Hey, man. You got a lot of money. You made a lot of cash if you are Roger Goodell. If these things really matter to you, I would think that being the commissioner of the NFL, the dude that like 10, 12 years ago we got on the cover of Time magazine as being Mr. Law and Order and as some kind of sheriff, you can stand up and say what is obvious here. Like the NFL statement as they put it out, my buddy Joel Addison at Slate made a very good point that if you pay very careful attention to these statements that are being released, the one that jumps out that doesn't fit this mold is the UConn women's statement, which went pretty hard, I thought. They're not saying the word police. Like, that's the one place that all of these entities have made the call, the line that they're not really trying to go to, is any direct level of criticism of the police, even though what we're talking about is almost entirely about the police, right? So, like, we're trying to talk around it, and we're trying to talk in this place where people start talking about how bad they feel and everything else, but nobody wants to say anything against the police because the police are going to buck back. Like, there are consequences to taking an offensive against the police. I was stunned that the president of the University of Minnesota said she was going to disconnect their relationship with the Minneapolis Police Department, because after this is done and we're gone, she's still going to be there, and so was that police department. Like, that was, to me, an incredibly brave thing of her to do, because nobody wants to come at the police. But Goodell is in a position where if people listen to him, and if he really wants to say something that matters, he can do that. And a big thing that he can say is, we as a league, we got to do a better job of taking care of what are our obvious issues with racism, right? Because one thing in these statements also is systemic racism is the buzzword, right? Like somebody took social media sociology 101, and a while ago they heard, like, yo, we got to, it's bigger than one person. We've got to talk about systemic racism. So everybody just kind of throws that word out there without even conceiving of what it means. You can take that if you want to mean that there are no individuals that are responsible for this. It's just racism. It's just the machine that goes. But that was an individual that was on George Floyd's neck, for example. That individual believed that he could do that because police officers typically get away with killing people. And so you get two levels. One of them is your belief that you could get away with doing it. That's why you did. But that's not the thing that makes you want to do it, right? There are clear moral imperatives that are in place. And if Goodell decided that he wanted to stand on the moral imperative in spite of who was bothered by the fact that you're willing to say something that is correct, that is something that he could do. It's probably not something that he will do, but it's absolutely something that he could do.
Wow. Well Ooh. Said, but I kind of feel like the comedy kind of got away from us there. We were trying to do it like a like a bit.
Oh, and I misunderstood. I thought it was a real question.
Well, Stugatz had a bunch of like wacky hypotheticals.
Like it was one of the scenarios, Bo. He is walking side by side, Roger Goodell, protesting peacefully. He is walking side by side with Colin Kaepernick in the streets, okay? And right then and there, he grabs a microphone. So he's walking side by side with Kaepernick. He grabs a microphone and he announces to the world that he is putting Colin Kaepernick on the Patriots and making him the starting quarterback. How about that?
Does that fix it?
Huh. That's an interesting situation. I'm going to just tell you this right now, just so you understand it. Some of the people that Roger Goodell would be trying to appease, we don't think you do it. They don't necessarily think you're doing nobody a favor by telling them they got to go to Boston after all this. Hmm. Just letting you know that. Not everybody looks at that as a blessing.
Right. So that's the one qualifier. So not good enough is what you're saying. If Goodell did that, not good enough. You've got to do better than that. Stugatz, do you have anything better than that? Because I feel like you came in with your best offer.
Well, I did, but I put him in Boston, and it's a great point by Bo. So what if I put him on the Jets? Like, what if I put him somewhere else? I mean, what happens there?
Interesting question if you put him on the Jets. That
Cowboys. Cowboys.
Ooh, that'd be great for everybody. That'd be the biggest win. It'd be amazing to watch the NFL try to pull the Cowboys off of all those Sunday, Monday, and Thursday night games once Colin Kaepernick wind up on the team.
All right. We're going to talk some more with Bomani here in the next segment.
Made Amin very angry.
Yes, Amin wants to talk about the unfair position he believes Udonis Haslam has been put in as the face near Overtown in front of the cruise ship magnate. As you know, they send Udonis Haslam to earn what is his last 3 years of salary, not for basketball, but for this moment. Amin wants to yell at us about that, but Mike, I think Bomani's going to get first crack at it.
Yeah. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Live. We'll continue with Bomani Jones in just a second. Stephen A. Smith will host a First Take, Your Take Town Hall radio special from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Here's your SportsCenter update. Former Cavaliers guard J.R. Smith is seen in video published by TMZ Sports on Sunday beating up a man who allegedly damaged his truck during the protest in Los Angeles over the death of George Floyd. UFC light heavyweight champion John Jones tweeted Sunday that he plans to relinquish the belt and take time off from the octagon. Did I get it right there? Did I do it again?
It's so great. It is so great. But I think it's the only place that you do it. I really do. I don't think you do it anywhere else except with that one word where you make it some sort of pasta.
Yeah, I do. And finally, a 1762 vintage bottle of Gaultier Cognac, one of the oldest surviving cognacs in the world, sold for $146,000 at an online auction. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to the SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Bomani Jones with us. He's been a friend of the show for a long time. He's guided us through a whole lot of stupid racial crud that has allowed this show to be vital in times like these. And what I am telling you is that his podcast, if you're in the mood to listen now because America's burning and you might be scared, The Right Time with Bomani Jones is a place where you will find from him and his friends a conversation that you're probably not going to be finding anywhere else in sports radio, anywhere else, because I'm telling you, the guy has been a lead authority on teaching me things, many things, as the woke guy that I did not know. So The Right Time with Bomani Jones is where you need to check it out. He's going to spend some more time with us here. What was happening with you and Mike Bomani with this David Guetta mix that he sent you on? Mike, do you want to set this up or do you want Bomani to set this up?
Allow me. Please allow me. Please allow me.
Yeah, go
please,
for
please,
it,
please, please allow me. This was presented to me as how David Guetta say racism. And that's one of them names that I kind of know. And then I see him, and I was like, oh, yeah, he's one of these DJs that I always be mixing the kind of music I don't listen to. Okay. You know, and he was from France. And so, like, he's in his other language, and he's talking about how affected he is by George Floyd. He said a shout-out to their family. And he was playing some of that, like, restaurant on Miami Beach music. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that kind of vibe. And then scratched in, I have a dream. Yeah. Like, he just brought Dr. King in right there with whatever that kind of music is called. And he was clearly touched. Like that's the thing. It clearly touched him. It was like yesterday I was listening to Accidental Racist because I think it's hilarious. And I was like, wow. Brad Paisley is really touched by his own nonsense right now. This is amazing.
What else can we discuss as it regards Udonis Haslam? I don't know how much of this story.
Yeah, what's happening here?
Okay, so Amin is supposed to be in this segment, but he was bumped because we were having fun with you, and he's mad about that, and we'll get to him at noon because he wants to talk about how Udonis Haslam, the Miami Heat, have sent him out as Miami guy, and Bomani's had a unique experience with Miami coming in and out of here and seeing what the racial relations are in this country, where in this city, our country, Freudian slip, there, where we're still wearing the scars from 40 years ago when the riots looked like that and were here because some grave injustice had been done. So I am curious what you think of Amin asking me. He's like, why is Haslam out there speaking on behalf of the Heat? And the arena is right near Overtown, and the cruise ship magnate who's asked for a bailout from the country as money divides us all along this path, they've sent out Udonis Haslam. And I've been joking with Amin, like, he's earning his last 3 and 4 years of salary with the Miami Heat right now because he's going out there and saying, hey, everybody calm down. And so I'd be curious what Bomani's perspective is as someone who spent, you know, a few years down here in Miami doing highly questionable with us.
Yeah, no, I think so. As much as you joke about that, this is him earning his 3 years of salary. The reality is at this point in Udonis Haslam's career, he's there to be from Miami, right? Like he's there to be. People in Miami love him because from the city. And honestly, Miami sports don't really give people, even in football, despite how many good football players come out of Miami, like, at least you tell me if I'm wrong, I never felt like there was anybody else, at least in the time that I was there, that felt like he was of the city and of the area in the way that Haslam did, right? So he gives the basketball team a cachet that a basketball team would certainly like to have. On the flip side, though, I mean, I don't know if I want Mickey Harrison out here trying to talk about this. Number one, he is really stressed out. He got his money in the worst place to have his money in a pandemic. Number two, what exactly does he have to contribute? Like, I would like for him to come out and say some things that I think are obvious and apparent, but I don't know enough about the man to know, like, what he thinks about these. So instead, what you get is Udonis Haslam, who comes out and says, we have to protest, we have to be heard. I feel like that's probably more valuable than anything that Mickey Harrison would have been able to say himself as he just looked at those boats not go nowhere.
Yeah, that's well said. Bomani Jones, check him out. We've got to get to DraftKings here in a second. But before we do that, Bomani, do you have any other thoughts? Because I've not seen you or heard you this kind of hopeful because this is a terrible time. And I was telling people before you came on that I've been feeling physically sick all week, like weekend, like in a way that has been heavy on my body because I'm scared and I don't.
As opposed to your body being heavy,
right,
on your body?
Right, exactly. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
What was that? Here's what I got for you. And I don't know even if this is necessarily hopeful as much as just kind of observing and seeing that something is a little bit different. Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence went harder on this matter than, honestly, any NFL quarterback that I have seen. I have not seen any, like, bold or, like, you know, stride declared a statement on this matter from quarterback. And I get that the quarterback position is basically an extension of management. Like, I understand that they play by a different set of rules. So I'm not necessarily being judgmental about any of those things in particular, but I made this point on Twitter and the Clemson people got mad at me, but this is the truth. It is interesting that Trevor Lawrence had something to say on this matter publicly before Dabo Swinney did. And on one level, that's like impressive leadership of Trevor Lawrence's part. But on the other level, man, I'm telling you, TCU, their players are out on Twitter just kind of like, yo, when are our coaches going to say something? Like, these guys, this new generation of kids, man, they view these relationships, I think, a lot more idealistically, and they have a different expectation of what they're going to receive. And these kids are looking at these coaches, and they're being like, yo, so where are you for us in this matter? And if you are a football coach, now is not the time for you to be scared, because you can lose all these dudes at a time where you are going to be asking them to come risk their lives to keep the money machine going. You want them to play football this year, right? So all those coaches out there who understandably kind of like to lay low, if we're not even like just the idea that they want to avoid controversy, I get you. But you're going to mess the game up for yourself for a very long time if you do not recognize that these young men that you have told their parents that you're going to be like second daddies to them. Well, they need daddies right now, man, because especially for the younger ones who haven't gone through this before, these are terrifying times for them with everything that's going on. This is where you earn your million-dollar salary. It's not by coming. It's not the X's, what they always say. It's not the X's and O's. It's the Jimmy's and Joe's. Jimmy and Joe need to hear from y'all, and this is the time. Don't leave that job to Trevor Lawrence. He's only 20 years old.
Well, Monty, I am interested in the fact, especially after what you just said and after that first segment, after absorbing everything over the weekend, that you walked away feeling, I guess, a little bit differently from this standpoint. You feel a shift, you feel a change, you feel some hope, and that is no small step, I'm guessing, Bomani.
Yeah, but that hope exists as long as white people are interested in this particular discussion. Like, is there going to be any legitimate level of staying power? Because this is what I think happened, right? And I feel like this is an apolitical observation, but we all watch the same news and all this stuff. What I think happened was when you saw those people showing up at these buildings with rifles and everything, demanding that they be able to get a haircut or demanding that nobody make them wear a mask, there's a lot of people that are at home and that are terrified right now of catching this because of people like engaging in behaviors like those. And so if you're at the house and you're seeing that and you are offended by it, you find it problematic. Imagine how it then now stands out seeing the ways that people just like protesting without weapons are being treated in juxtaposition. Like, I think that really makes it jumps off the screen for people in a kind of enemy of my enemy is my friend sort of way. And I think it made it a lot more acute for people for them to recognize what some of these differences are. But as this thing is going, man, as much as police brutality is a big black people issue, I'm watching these videos, man. They tossing white dudes around too. They tossing white women around right now also. And if people stay engaged and then, you know, perhaps they can practice some measure of empathy, then we got a chance. But the second white folks get bored and move on, we're going to go back to where it's been, which for what it's worth is what's happened every other time something like this has ever happened.
Bomani, thank you, sir. Appreciate you giving us so much time. We'll talk to you more.
All right, man. You guys be good.
Right, see ya. The Right Time with Bomani Jones. It's the podcast. You really should get more of that now. If you're in the mood to listen, that is going to be an interesting ride because, like I've told you before, that guy, the complex thoughts that he puts together in bite-sized cubes is unlike anything I've ever seen in this industry, and he's just a vital voice at this time.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Amin Al-Hassan going to join us in just a second here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Stephen A. Smith will host a First Take, Your Take Town Hall Radio special from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Here's your SportsCenter update. EA Sports is postponing a first look at Madden NFL 2021 planned for Monday in light of the protests in Minneapolis and around the country over the death of George Floyd. Brad Keselowski, I mean, I got no shot there, won at the NASCAR Cup Series at Bristol in his second victory within a week. And finally, in Finland, the cost of a speeding ticket is determined by your income. In 2002, a Nokia executive got a ticket for $103,000 for going 45 in a 30 zone. That's absurd, man. That's ridiculous. Yes, it is. I mean, $103,000 for going 15 miles per hour over the speed limit?
That's correct. That seems extreme. It's probably why they gave it to you to read.
For all the latest headlines and information, tune in the Sports Center on ESPN Radio all throughout the day. Thanks.
All right. You're welcome, Stugatz. Amin El Hassan here. What are your objections? Just frame the issue because I'm just tired of you peppering us during the breaks with questions while we're trying to do our show, asking me about Udonis Haslam. Like, so just tell the people whatever the hell you were peppering us with.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I just want to say I know I'm always here for comedic relief, so forgive me if I don't deliver on the regular laughs and yuck-yucks that you guys usually get from me. My thing was, when I texted you originally, was that the Miami Heat, as of Monday morning, still hadn't made any statement after this long weekend of unrest and everything happening, not only all over the country, but specifically in Miami. Cars burning, people to the streets, police taking action that seems above and beyond what would be necessary. And the Miami Heat, which is a pillar of the South Florida community, doesn't say anything, even though Udonis Haslam this weekend went out and spoke and spoke very eloquently and passionately. And my thing isn't that Udonis Haslam shouldn't speak. Obviously, he's a man of power and influence there, and using his voice is tremendous. My thing is, how do you throw him out there as a meat shield and not have any comment of your own, official or otherwise, let alone, if you ask me, Mickey or someone should have been there with Udonis. Because at the end of the day, Dan, leadership isn't about, hey, I'm the first one that gets a trophy when the commissioner hands it over. Leadership is also about when things are hitting the fan, I've got to be the meat shield. I've got to be the one that steps up and says, hey, that's not cool. I'm with this. And I know what you all are thinking. I mean, what do these milquetoast statements really do or mean? They don't mean much. That's true. But they mean a whole lot more than not saying a thing.
Well, when did the Miami Heat send out a statement today? Did it come right after Udonis Haslam did what he did this weekend?
Yeah. It came out at 10:45 a.m. Their statement is actually being applauded by most right now. But, yeah, just for the – in fairness, they did release a statement.
Does it have the word police in it?
It does not appear to have the word police in it, unlike the people are holding up their statement as opposed to the New York Islanders, which – the New York Islanders PR department is hearing it pretty good right now.
So, I mean, okay, help us explain then what the dilemma becomes.
I mean, the dilemma, first of all, the text that I was sending you happened before. They dropped at 10:45. I believe I was texting you like 10:15, this stuff. So, and that to me is, what is there to drag your feet about? Especially, again, when it's happening in your city. At that point, and again, I don't say this from a point of antagonism. I know Tim Donovan. I love Tim Donovan. That's your job, bro. That's when you're like, hey, Mickey, we got to get on the phone right now and come up with something right now to say something. Something. No matter how milquetoast it is, you got to say something. You can't just sit back and say, let's see how this plays out. When you've got your own players going out there and speaking, you have to have something. And so my ire is in that, why did it take so long? Why did it take so long to come up with that? And the other thing I would say, Dan, is yesterday, the SportsCenter account tweeted, as everything going on, tweeted some video of some young lady with a terrible golf swing. And I quote tweeted, and I'm not trying to do ESPN on ESPN Club. I quote tweeted, I said, guys, you can't do this right now. Like, there's enough, you're the SportsCenter Twitter account. There's enough things connected to what's happening in this country that is sports related that you can tweet about. There are things that are not connected to what's happening in this country. There's stuff that's like the NBA starting back up or, you know, transactions or whatever. You can tweet about that stuff. Having a young lady, a young white lady, I might add, terrible golf swing is just the worst thing to have at times. So I quoted it as a guy, you got to have a better feel for it. And a lot of people are saying ESPN doesn't give a F or, you know, Disney doesn't give a F. I said, that's not true. That is not true because I work here and I know I care. And I work with people and I know they care. And ultimately, a company is made up of the people who work here, right? So we have a responsibility to represent ourselves in the way we do. But at the end of the day, my voice and the voice of my coworkers is not as strong as the leadership. And we have leadership, thankfully, at the top of Disney who did come out and did make a statement over the weekend. And that's my whole question. It's like, what does it take? What was the thing that made the Miami Heat say, oh, not yet. Let's see where this goes before they say, okay, 10:45, all right, let's drop this.
All right, Amin, but perhaps we should have those answers. Like, maybe that's the way Udonis Haslam wanted it to be. Perhaps Haslam wanted to go out there. Perhaps Haslam is their statement. Perhaps Haslam requested, perhaps he requested he say something before they say something. You don't know that.
I'm not saying that Haslam should not be out there. Again, he is a man of power and influence in South Florida. He absolutely has every right to go out there and represent and speak. I'm asking why it takes so long after Haslam goes out there for the Miami Heat to even say something.
That part's fair. That part's fair, right? Because this is the thing that makes some of these conversations crazy today is everyone tries to talk around the politics and keep it to sports. Like, what he's asking is a fair question. The NFL chose its public relations response the way they chose to do it. In the weekend, they released a statement. It was just, and what Bomani says is true. Where are the words police in these statements? Like, right. It seems like all of the white people at the top have decided on what the wording is that makes us on this side, but not on the side when I have to mention that it's also the police. So the questions that Amin is asking are totally fair, because I'd love to know what the public relations was behind what the question was for Udonis Haslam and how he reacted to that. I'd like to ask some difficult questions about that, because you can't throw Udonis Haslam out there just because he's been on the payroll for 3 years and does your job as owner or president or PR just because he's the Miami guy.
I'm not saying it's not fair. I'm just saying we don't know exactly how UD wanted it done, and I understand what Amin is asking. Why did it take so long after Haslam spoke for the Heat to put something out there? But I'm telling you, we're all going to drive ourselves crazy if we're going to sit around and not focus at the actual issue at hand and focus at how and when everyone is responding and what words they're using to describe the, you know, in their response. I mean, it shouldn't be where the entire focus should be. It's just weird.
Stu. You're absolutely right. That's not where the focus should be. And as I said earlier, these statements overall are very toothless and don't mean much other than to signal I am not with the people who are okay with this. And I say this to bring up, you know, again, I don't want to badger the Miami Heat because I think overall it's a good organization. But I'll give you another example somewhere else. Over the weekend, there was a woman who is a union lawyer for the LAPD. She was. She's not anymore, but she was. Who tweeted out crazy, wild, inflammatory statements like looters should be shot or protesters should be shot and calling people stand thugs, which is a particular sort of racism right there when you're talking about the neighborhood that she was talking about. And all this wild stuff. She is a USC Athletics booster. And all weekend long, I was waiting for USC to say, she's not with us. We're not taking her money. And in fact, her profile picture was her with Michael Pittman Jr., who just got drafted. And Michael Pittman tweeted, the woman said, take that picture down of me and you, because I don't want to be affiliated and associated with that. And I think that's what these statements are really for, is to say, to signal to people, we are not affiliated and associated with these elements. Right now, I'm with you guys. I wish they would say more about specifically police brutality. I saw a Slate headline that said police violence erupts all over the nation, which is a hell of a headline. That's what happened here. We have a nation that is protesting police violence, and police's response is, all right, let's be violent. And that is a real problem. But to me, a big problem beyond the actual violence is what we do in reaction to it. In many ways, the man who murdered George Floyd is abhorrent and drove me nuts. But the thing that I can't shake is the other three guys that just stood there and watched it happen. And that's the metaphor, I think, is that one thing is to say, these are some bad people doing this stuff. It's another thing when it's well, what are we, if we're just going to sit around like, well, them be the brakes, right? And that's the part where these statements, as toothless and milquetoast as they are, they stand and say, I'm not that cop who stood there and watched the other dude kill somebody. We all know you're not the cop who killed the guy, but you also have to make sure you're not the person who stood by and watched it happen.
See, I can't object to the yammering there, but I don't know if I want him back for another segment. Can we get some votes here? Because
I mean, he brought it there.
He did. No, he it was strong, but
it's
but
a
it,
catch 22.
But it was yammering.
Did we ruin what he just did by going to him?
It was yammering. It was so long, but he made good points, and those are fair questions.
Is
he's
there,
asking.
Wait, I mean, will there be a single laugh in the
I
next
mean,
segment?
I mean,
I
are
know.
You? Can we use you as the comedy guy here? Or no. Now we got to be serious about the guy who. I don't think you deserve it.
Hmm.
Okay, well, then there's your comedy.
I mean, will you be this good again next segment?
All right. Hold on a second. Okay, we're going to keep him for another segment, and let's see if he brings some comedy. Put some pressure on him, for the love of God. Jeez, that was sandpaper dry. Advance Auto Parts, and you're right about everything. I mean, that's the thing. You're totally right, but you yammered.
We'll continue with Amin Alhassan in just a second here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. A lot of pressure on Amin here. A lot of pressure. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and our Best of Podcast on Demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crepe. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts.
If you do like that sort of stuff, Le Batard and Friends and podcasts, and you need some content, our friends around here, like Amin Alhassan, who has been a good soldier for us for a long time in terms of playing the Stugatz character and doing American Ninja Warrior and knowing he's going to fail and understanding that him failing is the very funniest thing. So we have, like, this guy was a front office executive. He really knows basketball, okay? And I didn't even, when we were talking about the Le Batard and Friends stable, I was saying to you, Stugatz, we don't have an executive in our stable now that Stan Van Gundy's gone. He's going to join us at 12:30, and we were talking about David Sampson, and it hurt Amin's feelings.
Well, it should. I mean, he's okay. 100% right.
But
I mean,
on this subject, he is an important voice to have. I know you guys want the hijinks, the weekend observations. I'm sorry. I'm legitimately sorry that we're doing serious racial stuff and sports today, but it feels like the country's listening, and it feels like our show is most vital when it tackles these subjects well, and it feels like there is no other sports radio show in America that has this diverse a voice cast. It's the entire thing we are. Chris Cody is the minority around here. His dad is actually the affirmative action hire. His father is he's the only white guy we're dragging around other than Stugatz around here. So when these subjects come up, I want to actually hear what Amin has to say, but we need our funny man. So where's the funny, Amin?
Okay. So I just tweeted this. There's a young black man of South Sudanese origin who was getting harassed and then tried to be arrested by the cops. And the whole time he said, "You guys are really dumb." And he keeps telling them that they're dumb and says, "Don't handcuff me." They handcuff him. He says, "Wait till you see my ID. Pull out the ID." Guess what? He's an FBI agent. And I laughed and I said, that is the Ray Allen three-pointer in the corner of videos from this entire weekend. Because it's like, oh no, this guy's going to get beaten up by the cops and dragged away. And then the cops are like, whoops.
That was pretty good. That's a good one. The black FBI agent. We can't deny that.
These are the rays of sunlight that we have to grasp at, right?
Dan, while you were talking about his bona fides and then dismiss them, it was a weird way. You set him up just to knock him down again. Yeah. Amin, over the last few weeks, has joined us on the local hour, and while you're trying to have a serious discussion, I only see an opportunity to promote. He will be on the local hour again for part 3 of his oral history of his time with the Suns, and we're getting some really cool stories, so make sure to check it out on our show feed, which you can subscribe to now, the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz.
Okay, so yeah. By the way,
I just want to point out real quick, Dan contacted me over the weekend. He was very emotional. It was very touching. I appreciated Dan. And Dan apologized to me for what was happening in the country. And I said, Dan, it's not your fault. Like, you're not the one who needs to apologize. And Dan said, I thought you were a waiter. And I said, you know what? I take it back. Maybe you need to apologize a little bit.
I did. When I met him, I did. I'm super woke-a-tard. You know I'm super woke-a-tard. And when I met Amin Alhassan, who had worked at the network for, I don't know, many, many months at that point, I thought he was a Clevelander waiter. Guilty. The king of woke. Guilty of obvious racism.
It's a little bit of racial profiling in everybody, right?
All right. Did Amin bring the funny enough, or do we need more funny from him? Or do we need a serious point? Do we need a serious societal point that ties it to sport?
I laughed too much that segment.
Yeah, no, I thought he was funny, and I thought the serious part, like, he'll never be that good again. Like, yeah. Not just, like, ever on anything. I mean, yeah,
this hasn't gone the way that we hoped, but I think it's gone the way that we knew it was going to go.
Okay, another failure for Amin. Thank you for your time, Amin. We'll talk to you soon. Get out of here. I've been vetoed. Stan Van Gundy, the white man, is going to be better than you on this subject in the next segment. Okay? Stan Van Gundy joins us next. Get out of here. Advance Auto Parts, people. They have the accessories.
I think you're doing that thing again.
It's not the Advance Auto Parts. No. Oh,
yeah,
it's not. Man, we were
there's
going
a time
so good.
Stamp on those.
I got it's so excited.
There was also that really weird time where you were resetting Bomani by telling the audience how excited you were to talk about DraftKings in just a couple of minutes. I could tell that you kind of lost your way.
I'm excited to talk about Stan. Yes, thank you, Mike. Thank you for seeing my
the
every
rare
vulnerability.
DraftKings,
yes,
that
I said
was so weird.
I'm
you
looking forward
that too.
To. Like, I'm looking forward to talking about that, Stugatz, the DraftKings.
we'll get to DraftKings in a second.
You tell me, what was my tell? What gave it? You guys are real sleuths, the two of you, figuring out, how did you figure out that I lost my way? How could you possibly? Is it because I said real excited to tell you about DraftKings in 3 minutes? Stan Van Gundy, the white man, next.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Stan Van Gundy going to join us there in just a second. Stephen A. Smith will host a First Take, Your Take Town Hall Radio special from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Here's your SportsCenter update. EA Sports is postponing a first look at Madden NFL 2021 planned for Monday in light of the protest in Minneapolis and around the country of the death of George Floyd. Brad Keselowski won at the NASCAR Cup Series at Bristol in his second victory within a week. And finally, only half of your friends would actually consider you their friend, according to researchers from MIT. People generally have a poor perception of friendship ties. That number would be a lot higher for me. I feel like everyone's my friend. I mean,
well, you're probably the case study for exactly what this thing is. Like, they could have just thrown you in a lab. Yeah. You're 100% everyone is my friend. And on this show, I think you have three friends, maybe two, perhaps one.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't even think I have
might not have any. I might not have any.
You definitely don't have any. America's number one shaving cream. That's Barbasol shaving cream. Choose Barbasol thick and rich shaving cream. The American original for over 100 years. Close Shave America. Close Shave Barbasol. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in the Sports Center on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Stan Van Gundy is another person, Stugatz, who has taught me about race, because he's got, a knowledge, having worked with these guys in this world and listened to these guys in this world, where, I find that Stan on the subject of race is one of the smarter voices that I have met, anywhere. Not just for a basketball coach. I'm just talking about, non-black guy who espouses black guy viewpoints because he spent a lifetime around them and made his earnings off of them. But before I do this, Stan, and I'll get to you in a second, Mike Ryan was correcting me on something Miami Heat related, because I was using a pejorative verb, saying they kept trotting out Udonis Haslem or whatever it is that I said, and that makes it sound like they were doing something that they may not have been doing.
Yeah, you've been speaking so matter-of-factly on it that I had to remind myself, wait, do we know this for sure? Because you're making it sound like the Miami Heat made a conscious decision to have Udonis Haslem go out and represent them publicly. While Udonis Haslem, whenever he does speak, he does represent the Miami Heat by connection. You don't know that to be 100% true. Obviously, what we've seen on the television, anyone could feel compelled to use their platform as a celebrity or someone that has influence in this community the way that Udonis Haslam does.
Yeah, I was probably unnecessarily sounding cynical there. Regardless, Stan Van Gundy with us now. And as you've seen these statements, Stan, thank you for making the time for us. As these teams have released all of these statements, I can't even imagine what you thought about the NFL's, but just all of them, your thoughts as a guy who has run a sports organization were what?
Well, I think, look, everyone has a statement, or most people have had a statement, and they're all necessary and they're all good. But I think we're long past the time of statements or starting a conversation. I think the statements are just a starting point. Look, there were statements, conversations, and protests after Michael Brown in Ferguson, after Eric Garner in New York and others, and nothing changed. We need change, and we've needed it for a long time. And I think the Coaches Association and the NBA wants to go beyond the statements that we made one, but we want to go beyond that and take action. And we're looking for ways now to best do that. But look, we need changes in laws and police policies. Like Hillary Clinton in 2016, I heard her speak and she made a great point. She said it takes generations to change hearts. And so, yeah, we'd like everybody to be less racist. We'd like everyone to have less tendency toward violence and all of that. It takes generations to change hearts. What we can do now are change laws and policies. And we need to do that. We need policies and laws that will not tolerate police brutality and racial injustice, profiling and stereotyping. And we need much more effective ways of holding police accountable for their actions. There are specific ways to do that. There are organizations working toward things like those right now. What we all need to do is get on board, lend our voices, our money, and our action to helping those things take place. Because otherwise, what we're going to do is everyone is outraged, and rightly so, and we're going to talk about these things for the next week or two, and they're going to be gone, just like those other instances are gone. You know, we don't talk about those things, and the laws and policies haven't changed. And that's what needs to happen right now. I hate to think we're just going to have another 2 weeks of talking because it does nothing.
Okay, Stand but for me.
You were in power. I'm sorry, Stu Gatz, my apology. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But you were in power right up until an owner. Like, who's this on? Are you, like, how does the NBA need to be a little, even a little more advanced than, you know, beyond the NFL's statement? The NFL put out a statement, Stan. Think about how ridiculous that is. You put out a statement when Colin Kaepernick was telling you 3 years ago, hey, not this anymore. And look what happened. They simply literally blackballed him.
Yeah, there's no question that that happened with the NFL. Look, Steve Kerr on one of our calls the other day, and Steve has been a fantastic voice on a myriad of social justice issues, and he has said that this right now, this is a white people problem, and he's right about that. I mean, you know, it's our racism. It is our police officers and things in general that are causing these problems. But going beyond that, it's really a powerful people's problem. I mean, there are certain people who have the power to make the change. And I think one of the reasons we've seen the protests and the magnitude of the protests we've seen is those people, more than anyone, feel the need for change. They're the people who have been oppressed for generations and they haven't seen change. And they feel powerless. And so all that is left for them is what we've seen in the last few days. When we have people who are powerful and wealthy and can influence our police commissioners, our sheriffs, our mayors, our legislators, you know, our prosecutors, DAs and state's attorneys, and get things done, who have stood by silently and done nothing. And that is my concern. On the ground, there is a great desire for change. But unfortunately, and we have to be realistic, the way this country works is there are certain people with the money and the power to change things. And if they don't get on board, nothing is going to change. And we've seen it from issue to issue, and certainly in this one. And so I think we're trying as a group of coaches to use our platform the best we can, but we want to collaborate with the players and most hopefully with our owners, because they're very powerful people, to affect change. That's something that we'll be working on in the days and weeks to come, because if we don't change these policies and laws, Dan, you know, all this talk goes for naught. I mean, it's great, I think, to know that there's so many people concerned, there's so many people outraged, but that alone, that outrage, that passion, that concern, doesn't guarantee that anything changes.
Stan, can you give specific examples as to what it is you'd like to see? Because I agree with everything you're saying, the statements, their words, just to put words out there because you feel like you have to say something at this point in time. So specifically, what do you want to see? Do you want to see owners and coaches walking side by side, peaceful protests with the players? What specifically will have the greatest impact?
Well, as a group, we haven't decided that yet, and I don't want to get ahead of the group and say what they're advocating. So now I'm just speaking for myself. But no, what I really want to see is deeper. Look, to me, the best group on this, on these kind of issues with players and things, are the Players Coalition, led by Anquan Boldin and Malcolm Jenkins. And because they know the specifics of what they want to accomplish, and they get on the ground and do the work. And so they want, I'm going to take my lead from them. They want to get out and talk about how union contracts with police unions are negotiated, and they, mainly to be more transparent in that and to negotiate contracts that give leaders a better chance to regulate the actions of police officers. They want to get rid of the immunity that police departments have to being sued by, say, the family of George Floyd. They want to get civilian oversight of police departments. What we have right now, it's very difficult, right? We prosecutors have to decide whether or not to prosecute officers. And then those same prosecutors need the police to make their cases. And that's obviously a setup with a great deal of conflict of interest. So that needs to change. You know, we need to get involved in the races, the campaigns for DAs and state attorneys, people up for election, because those people have a lot of say, not only over police you know, forces and their behavior, but over which cases are prosecuted. There's any number of things that can be...
Hold on just a second, Stan. I'm sorry. I only interrupted you because I thought you were yammering. And it's... I want to hear what your thoughts are on this, but you've been talking for a minute, and I also want to bring you back. But if we can't do funny around you, this isn't going to help. That you're just... Because most people... Most people want to hear your thoughts on this very little at any other time than this. Like, you are a gas bag, and the things that you have said on this subject have been very good for years now, but who wants to hear it from you? So now that it's vital right now, we're just doing a whole lot of talk, and what we have to do is smoke out Ballmer. Let's smoke out Ballmer. You and me, me as a media member, you a coaches association, TNT broadcaster, Turner Sports basketball analyst, let's smoke out. Who do we need to smoke out?
Well, look, I mean, yeah. Look, those are the people, you know, I mean, the owners of our league are very rich people. Money brings power in this country. They have great influence. And I do find it interesting that with all the people speaking out, that the people who can really affect change, our owners, have been notably silent. I mean, you know, we've heard from Mark Cuban. And we heard from Michael Jordan. And other than that, it's been silence. I mean, if these people think about it, if the owners in their cities, I don't care, I'm not singling anybody out. Take any owner in any city, went to a mayor or a police chief and said, hey, We need these policies to change. Now, we can either change them with you, or I can put $25 million into the campaign of your opponent, and we'll find somebody to change them. That's influence. Okay.
All right, thank you. But you have to go. Stugatz, I want you to remember the time in Stan Van Gundy's life. He was a politician. He was standing on street corners. What were you running for? What were you running for, Stan? What was that?
I wasn't running for anything. I was trying to get the property tax increase for the schools in Seminole County, Florida, where I live. And now, Dan, I'm trying to get involved in campaigns around the country, to mainly in just contributing, but some in doing more than that to try to change the people we have in power. Look, that's what people have to understand.
Not again.
I'm sorry.
No, Stan, just go to commercial.
Hold on a second. I mean, Stan.
Funny today.
He starts the segment off by saying that you have taught him so much about race, and then he cuts you off three times when you're talking about race.
Stan, get out of here.
Funny today.
Go to commercial. Go to.